You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone.
It's my sexy podcast. It's my show. The little bit of sketch comedy off the top with Yanla Van Zandt. Guys, wait, let me just get sorted here and tell you who's sitting across from me. Someone that I really love the presence of. Can't believe it's taken me this long to even get you here. You've seen her on Comedy Central. She's the host of Hack My Life on True TV. Please, give it all up. Take all of your clothes off
all
and
of
wash them, then dry them for Brooke Van Poplin!
Okay. I won't give a damn about reputation.
Did I say it desperately with my eyes that I wanted you
I
to
know.
Sing it?
I hope so.
How do I tell her everything I want for this song?
Oh, that's great.
Okay, yeah. We did. I don't give a damn about my reputation. Do you give a damn about your reputation?
No. The more I get older.
Really?
I'm just kind of like, well, I mean, in the sense that like, what's a good way to put it? Like,
you stop caring in the most desperate of ways.
Like, I stop caring in a way of like, where I'm like, I want to get back to what it is that I like to do and that makes me happy. And it just might not fit the mold of what's considered like cool
and
popular in New York.
But then that makes your shit cool.
Comes down to happiness.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
So, yeah. And it's okay. It's okay to be on a path for a while where you're trying to fit in and make a name for yourself. But I think sometimes, like, yeah, if it's going great for you, then that's fucking awesome.
I mean, isn't that cool how that is a true thing about life? That's a for sure true thing. There's no debating it. The more comfortable you are being yourself, the more you own who you are, the more successful you'll be.
Yeah.
But how long it takes and how transferable that is to stand up.
Yeah.
God, I'm wet with how many points I made and it's only three minutes in.
I know.
That's true, right?
This is like the panel part two. It's great.
Oh yeah, to fill you guys in, we did do a panel at the Badassery Conference, which was the first year of an all women's conference in New York City. I liked your panel the best. I know everyone's listening, and I know everyone else's panel.
I know they're all tuned in right now, and
yeah,
you know, sorry, ours was just kind of easy. It was fluffy candy.
It was fluffy candy, but I also thought it was most useful. And again, maybe because you allowed it to be just like, what do you guys want to, like, you know, what do you feel we should talk about? What should we impart on these people that are starting off in comedy? What do you think was the best takeaway from the panel?
I think for me personally, it was exactly what I selfishly kind of wanted to hear too, is like, I love hearing people's origin stories and hearing how long they've been doing it and that like,
and like just show, and in that seeing how diverse everybody's path is.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there were a lot of great moments, but just hearing also that like, I think as a comedian, you know, it's nice to hear that you're not alone. Like we all copped to certain feelings of like, oh my God, like, what am I doing? Like, I don't like this, so I'm going to switch gears and try something else. And just kind of hearing, like, you're not alone in a lot of the self-doubt and the walls you kind of hit sometimes with comedy, but then you have a breakthrough. I felt like I was surrounded by people who I just really respect what they're up to these days. We're all having a moment. It's good.
We're all having, different momies. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I did a moment of just, like, sit down on the couch, lay there on the couch, and just feel it! Feel life! And so that obviously comes with like the instinct to be like, you're a piece of shit, you're nothing but a piece of shit, you little shit piece.
Yep.
But then you like flick that one away and it's nice. I'm glad I took that time.
Yeah, like there's a lot of...
I mean, that was like a hard left into me confessing that I just laid around yesterday.
Around,
but like,
and you were yourself.
No,
you
it reminded me.
You were vibing.
What you said about, we all go through. We all cop to. Is it cop?
Like we all just like cop to the notion that like
copping is like falling back into.
I guess like copying. Like, am I wrong? It's kind of like admitting. You know, almost cop to. I don't know. I could be using it wrong, but like just the idea.
How
that,
ironic!
Like,
you know, referring to what cops are actually doing out there on the streets.
Reputation.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that is what is great about comedians is we're all really game to talk about the struggle because it's part of what's funny and it's part of what makes it unique.
I only want to talk about real life secrets with anyone.
Yeah.
So the struggle. So the struggle is that is needed, but then living in New York and like with the pressure to like be continuously getting better and better, mm-hmm. or working harder and harder.
Right, getting on a path.
Not necessarily working harder and harder, because that would take you on like a very bad path to just being like, I'm working the most, you know?
Right. I mean, like, if that's how you approach what you love, then like, I get it.
No, but that's actually the thing is, it's not how I approach. That's exactly going back to what we were talking
right.
about.
No, I like, yeah. I had a big moment where I was like, I'd like to work smarter, not yes. harder. And I was like, I've been doing this almost 12 years and I've got all these jokes, when it was like, why don't I just stop for a minute and go back and look at funny half-written ones. I'm smart enough to like make them good now. Yes. And so it's been a moment of realizing I've sort of written most things that I find funny, and I just gave up on them at a certain point,
yeah.
you know, maybe 6 years
it's
ago.
It's funny when like, when you, that happens to me sometimes, you get a little nugget. Actually, some like a couple times, the way that it's happened is people telling me like, oh, I used to like that, this
like,
joke. And you're like,
what?
Oh, the thing that I did for 2 months and then just like buried because it's not the thing that I have memorized the best to hit the yep. hardest punches the easiest.
Yep.
I mean, sorry to say it, but. Yeah, if you're living in the past, it's a new generation. Okay?
You have this cued perfectly.
I mean, that's not what the reviewers of my podcast say. I've had like, actually, it's not even reviewers. It's just nice women. One man, actually, too. We'll throw a man in there. Everything bagel it up. But that write me being like, can you please just let people talk and stop? I mean, it's a clearly a vulnerability thing you need to, and it's true. I mean, it's probably true. It's completely true. Like, why am I jumping towards sound effects? I also like sound effects, though.
Sound effects are really funny. I did a radio show forever ago, and I confronted the person who's now like, everything's fine, but like, he's like way back in the day. So it was a show on Sirius, and every time I went to like actually land a joke, he would drown me out with an air horn sound effect. God. And I was like, what's
no,
happening
then it's like,
right now?
Yeah, yeah.
And I confronted him about it. He's like, that's when I used to drink. It's like the funniest.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm better now. I'm sorry. He's like, you were really on my show. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of it's a funny memory to me. But in the moment, I was like, this is
that's
like
cool
literally
that you got to have that conversation.
Yeah, because he's
so
he's,
we're all getting
he's a
better.
Great dude. Yeah, everyone's getting better.
Except
you know?
Some people are getting worse.
A few. Let's not name.
Let's cue up the list. Sabrina and Brooks, list of people who are getting worse. I think that lady that was on SNL, Victoria Jackson.
Somehow
she's gotten worse for sure. I mean, like, people don't like her more now. Right?
Oh,
we only hear from her when she's like, what the hell's up with evolution of thought?
Right. Like, did she escape from Scientology? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who's joined Scientology, also
not getting better.
Who let's cap it off with one more.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Oh, you know what? I've got the perfect.
I've been in my own little bubble the past week.
Oh,
that stresses me out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, like, and now the audience would probably say, Sabrina, why don't you go in for the kill on this own little bubble? Like, why are you focused on who's on this list? And that's what I'm going to do. I'm gonna just look at you with a sideways head and say, what bubble, Brick?
Maybe we can make our list and put it out on the internet.
Our list of... Our list of people that are getting worse. I mean, I was copping to the bubble. I want to know when you say I've been in my own little bubble. I want to know what that's about.
Me personally?
Yeah, you.
Yeah, I've been working. I've been writing songs with my friend Julian, and we do a song
on stage.
It's crazy. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done. I've always secretly wanted to be a rock star or a musician, and I used to make attempts at it when I was younger, and then I just went full comedy for like a decade.
Just do something stable.
That do was something like, comedy super was like your stable. Nursing degree. Honestly, I know.
No, okay, so truly, you would be, I mean, I would also be a rock star over this anyway.
Yeah.
If I could just get it all together with my sexuality.
No, right?
My
when you've got stage, when you hold the mic sometimes, you do, like, you Eddie Vedder it on stage
Me?
A little bit as a comedian.
I
yeah,
do?
Yeah, you do a
Me
little
specifically?
Bit.
Me specifically?
Yes, I've seen
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
You are like a...
Oh, fuck yeah.
You've got stage presence, so you could easily just transfer that into, I think, some hip hop or if you wanted to, you know, do some screamy.
I do like, I do want hip hop. I think that'll be a thing. I did write a song with my friend Boris called Don't Leave Your Girl Around Me. alone with me. Don't leave your girl alone with me. It was about if you leave your girl around us, we'll just snap her up. She'll be gone.
She'll be gone. Never coming back.
So writing songs with your friend and... Yeah.
It's just so hard. It's honestly, I felt a little, it's not that I'm perfect or even like great at stand up all the time. It's just, it's a very learned muscle for me. That's very like, so this has been insane to force myself to learn how to do something and make some good music, because my friend Julian's an actual real, like a musician on a record label.
That's great.
Well, and so he holds me to a standard where he really expects me to be up there with him. And it's awesome collaborating. But I mean, I feel like I want to go to bed for 3 days after we work on lyrics. It's
because it's
really
so
hard.
Emotional?
Well, because they're funny, they're clever, they tell a story, and they fucking rhyme. And he won't settle for like any old rhyme. So we push it. And it's very, yeah, you feel like a thesaurus and that you've gotten to the end of all your pages. And I'm like, please,
but
can we just say this word? And then something brilliant pops out.
Does rock always rhyme?
It doesn't have to.
I feel like
to,
even rap sometimes doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't have
like,
to.
I'm like
but,
auditioning
yeah.
to be your new mentor. I'm like, no, I mean, this guy seems like a little too rhymey.
Right?
I'm holding sessions.
The thing is, it came off as so like effortless and pleasing. Like we performed it last night, and I mean, it was like, for me, it's like blood, sweat, and
Where'd
tears.
Where'd you perform?
We did it at Union Hall, and it was awesome. Yeah, we got
cool.
Harmar Superstar to join us. We wrote a bridge for him, so he like came on stage and sang this ridiculous bridge that we wrote for him, and it was just thrilling. It's the biggest round of applause I've ever gotten for anything in my life.
Word.
It was weird.
You can sing. I mean, obviously, you can sing. Then,
yeah,
if you were like horrible, and people were like, wah!
The thing,
no, you
yeah,
clearly can sing.
My range is not awesome because I don't
practice
anymore, but like I'd like to get there. Like maybe I'll actually start to take vocal
Yo,
lessons.
Cool.
I don't know.
Would you do musical comedy?
I'd love to. That's what I'm thinking.
It's so funny how there's just like things that are kind of frowned. I mean, like racial
right.
comedy.
Right.
And it's usually things that actually do kill, but it's almost like an envious thing where it's like, oh, you're going to take your guitar around? Well, then, you know, as
right.
if it's a trick.
But the thing is, like, so I'm a little bit like, you know, you're taking your guitar. Like, we are so not that. It's not cute. You know what I'm saying?
What are some
it's
of the songs
cute.
About?
It's like, it's real music. Well, you know how, like, okay, so we were discussing how we kind of think someone. I love like Flight of the Conchords in the sense that they are really, really good at musical styles and sounding like the genre that they pick for their song.
Yeah.
They're really good musicians. And that's really fun to watch. And so, yeah, like, and I love a lot of other different types of musical comedy. It's really great. But this is like, it's very produced. It's very written. It's the music is taken very, very seriously. And we just happen to, well, but we play this like, I don't know, we've written only two songs now. Since we've known each other, but we wrote a disco anthem about brunch, about like.
Are you
being,
guys falling in love?
He's married and I have a boyfriend. But yeah.
Yes. Oh,
no. We fight like a married couple.
Like this? That's a married couple closing. That's a married couple being like
slamming us.
You know what, Shauna? You can watch all the Shameless you want, but I don't relate to that show. And then me opening the door and being like. Hey, babe, can we watch something? This is not a good riff. Abort riff mission.
Shut the door.
So, married couple. But you, oh, yeah. You know what? I did some research, and I researched the top of your Facebook profile.
The top of my
the
Facebook.
The tip top. And I found a little skeleton from your closet.
Oh.
And by found, I mean, you were babysat by Madonna's mom.
Her stepmom.
And last night, while you were singing.
Yes, Madonna did stand-up.
She's an up-and-coming comedian making her stand-up comedy debut tonight. From Bay City, Michigan, please welcome the very funny Madonna, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, everyone at home, put in your vote. Does Madonna kill or does Madonna bomb? What does Madonna do? Can she use that power
right.
of, like, being
right.
on stage and just, like... Be like Alana Glazer mm-hmm. has been doing some stand up here and there, and like she doesn't do it often, but because she's got this great presence,
right?
And but she gets comedy,
right? She gets
done.
It. She's a comedian,
so,
like at the end of the day, too.
Yeah.
You
so
know?
What I'm saying is, Alana killed it. How does Madonna handle
that? It's good to talk about what you know.
I laughed at
that's
her.
What,
yeah,
that's what I did.
It's
I
crazy that she's
know,
wearing
right?
this outfit.
So,
I know.
I'm gonna start with dating younger men.
I just like how much she's moving her arms. Yep. I like how her eyes are getting kind of darty from side to side. I'm like, yeah, Madonna, it's not so easy, is it? To be so poised with the jokes.
Right, right. You're not, like, there are no backup dancers. There are no vocal effects.
Yeah, you know, she's not. Just... And, like, for her, punchlines are her catchy song tune song. I mean, listen,
I know.
Am I the most verbally... potent today? No.
Nay.
But like, yeah, for like the same way I kind of reach for punchlines when I first started doing keynotes, I'd be kind of like nervous to hit a stride where I'm just making a point and not making a laugh. But yeah, she's not bad.
I thought it was funny considering.
That's funny. Yep.
You guys are in sync.
Yeah, you do, don't you? Okay. Anyway, so. It's true, I date younger guys. And I have my reasons, but I'm not going to go into them.
I mean, that's...
that's like, what a throwaway. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Like, everybody's on your side. When Madonna's on stage being like, yeah, I date younger guys, everyone's just like, yeah, say literally anything. Just say, like, better penises. Anything. You could just say, I like them. What can I say? But for her to just set it up and then be like... Yeah, why would I? No, I'm not going to.
For reasons I'm not going to go into. For legal reasons. Right. No, I love it. It was just such a throwaway moment where you're like, oh, all right. Just do stand up about it then, I guess.
Oh, man. So, okay. So you once were babysat by Madonna.
For an afternoon
where she was not happy to be there.
Not happy to be there. It was like maybe a half hour, maybe an hour. Time stood still.
I mean, imagine how much that hourly rate would be today. Because I'm sure there's a rate. There's a price to anything.
There's a price.
But like for $100,000, I bet Madonna would sit with your kids for a couple hours.
Right? Or like, what if I was like, will you babysit me now? I'm a 36-year-old.
Yeah.
Come over and watch me. Change my diet.
But she would probably charge. For an older person, she'd...
Yeah. I guess that's just called hanging out.
Yeah.
At that point.
You would just have to manipulate your way into her friend group. But okay, tell me about young Madonna.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, my memories are very super vague. And I know my dad will probably, like, pop in on my Facebook wall at some point and be like, no, you're wrong, Brooke. It was Borderline, not Holiday or something. But he remembers because, like...
What's Borderline? The song
came out when she was watching us for the afternoon because she was... I mean, like, now when
I thought that Borderline was... Okay.
It's all good. Yeah. And, I mean, I was like six, so six or seven.
She had sang that song, but she was
getting famous, and she was back home.
Did you
and
talk
you know
to
that
her
moment
about
though?
The biz?
No, of course not. I was just terrified of her, and I
that
didn't.
Moment?
It didn't make sense to me who this woman like meant nothing to me in the moment. But then, as I actually bought like a cassette tape later, my parents were sort of like, you know, that this is Joan's stepdaughter, and she watched you, and blah blah blah. And it was just kind of like, what? That's wild.
Is Joan alive today?
Yeah. They own a vineyard in Michigan.
Do you guys keep in contact?
I could. My dad still talks to her. So I kind of, but I was like, I've been waiting for the right moment to reconnect in the sense that I want to use it to my advantage to meet Madonna.
Yeah. No, important people, you can't just willy-nilly exploit there.
Yeah, like I don't want to use up my possible little token to, where like I literally like, will you help me get
an email through? Yeah.
Can you sneak this one into the Madge?
No, I mean, well, you would have to hang out with her first and then sneak a letter, no?
Right. Or you could just be upfront
in the sense that
like our parents are friends and... You know, the fact that like, I like jokingly be like, yeah, if Madonna wants to do stand up on my show at Union Hall.
Oh, my God. Can you fucking imagine?
So, but I did find myself very strangely the other day at breakfast with my son, Rocco, thinking.
I like that she kind of held for an applause break for Rocco, for my son, Rocco.
You all know Rocco? No? Okay.
I mean, she's a cool lady. I don't know why. I don't know about this outfit just because my wife is a wardrobe stylist. So.
Yes. And for stand-up, again, I say whatever you're comfortable in performing in. But for me, this would put me in the exposed zone. I feel like people would be possibly staring at my
And also, like, you're
thighs.
A beautiful woman. It just seems, you know, okay, actually, I was listening to the Jillian Michaels podcast, who is a sponsor of this podcast.
Really?
Okay, no, it's not.
I was like,
JK.
Really?
But that would be pretty good. That would be pretty good. So Jillian Michaels, if you're out there, come on down. But Jillian was saying, she was talking about Madonna dressing young, and she was kind of shit-talking it I would classify it. Well, this is not a way to get sponsored. Mm-hmm. She was being a bitch, but she was kind of being, I mean, she was kind of talking about it as if like Madonna doesn't have the right to, which I was just like, Madonna has the right to. She was comparing Annie Lennox to Madonna, and they're just two different people.
Right.
So I think people, I guess, for me, it's my discomfort is like, I see her and I see that if I were dressed like that, it would be because I was like clinging to some sort of memory.
Right.
And maybe, is it? I don't know.
It almost just to me is sort of like, I want her to know that, like, I think most people are like, we love you. If you're doing it because you want to, or you're doing it to like feel the pressure of being older and staying neck and neck with other outrageous pop and R&B divas right now. The thing is, like, she's fucking Madonna.
Exactly. And that's right? The thing. When I was listening to the Jillian Michaels podcast, I was kind of like, yo, Jillian, calm down. Like, she's Madonna. You're talking about her as if she's like an at-risk teen. She's like made it. And so the conclusion is inconclusive for this week, but we'll revisit it next week. You know, thank God for that podcast there. I needed to breathe in. I needed to land that character.
You know what it just struck me as? The way she's dressing currently, it just looks angsty, which is sort of like, fine.
Like, even if your teenager's dressing like that, you're like, Maria.
Right.
What's going on?
What's happening?
You're hanging out with those pregnant Russian kids at school.
I found your journal and we need to talk.
Shout out to Paulina, the pregnant Russian kid that I was referencing. One lady shaping a nation of thoughts in a woman's mind.
But
I haven't had a date in a couple of weeks, and I looked at my...
I mean, this is not a sound effect to hit. It's just like so soft too. It's great too.
She's got a sexy speaking voice.
It's great to see people not, you know, do something well that someone's not good at. It just makes me so horny. Oh my God.
Opportunity for us to talk about issues and difficulties and challenges, some of the many things that you will see on Iyanla Fix My Life, which comes on every Saturday night, 9.
That's right. Iyanla Fix My Life, another fake sponsor. I want to talk to you about getting myself on track, getting this podcast on track, about getting into producing and writing. I think that's like a natural progression for some comics, not all comics, but what was that path for you? For me, what I'm referencing is when I was at the before Girl Code was a thing, the first auditions, I was like, what the hell? And then you were sitting beside, you were like, yeah, I was writing for, you produced.
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah, I wrote.
Tell me.
Yeah, I did it.
Help me.
Yeah.
Help me out of this setup. Yeah.
Let's get out of here together. Come on, Sabrina. Okay, back on track.
Okay.
There was a little bit of writing, like I got my feet wet with writing on Nikki and Sarah's pilot, and that was like my first I'm writing for a TV show. Then I did some writing for Guy Code, then Girl Code became a thing, and so you do pre-production writing for that.
Yeah.
And there was a producer spot that was coming open, and it was offered to me, which is just kind of wild because I was like, all right, I'm not exactly sure if I know how to do this. I didn't feel like I was qualified, but the truth is, like, if you have a good sense of, like, for this kind of television show, it's like, it's narrative and you kind of piece together the jokes. And it's like the way you would write a joke is you put all the clips together of the different funny people to make like a really funny, rounded out, complete thought. And so it was stressful and nuts, but it turns out that like having a comedy and writing background and having good editing, like in your own material, translates to being able to edit for television for this specific type of show.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I haven't thought about it in that way. That's a good analogy. Also, I mean, it is hard though. So when you're talking about that, editing a bunch of clips together, you're shooting with people. When you shoot with...
I interview them. So there's there would be like the whole front end where we worked on the narrative of the season. We'd pick the topics and then we would sit and brainstorm for weeks and just flesh out every possible funny angle to a topic so that we gave the talent very, very narrowed down setups. All their words were their own, but we help inform the direction supposed to go in, if that makes sense.
That's cool. I never thought about that show.
Otherwise, it'd be like a rambling shit show if it didn't have guidelines, you know, for them to think specifically and come prepared, you know. And still, you would tape like 2 hours of them per session to have them get like 2 minutes cut in. It's so, you have to shoot so much and it's absolutely insane.
And then you're just, while you're watching, you're keeping your ear out.
You make notes. You take notes for like, this is hilarious.
She's done a good one.
She's done a good one. I love it.
She's done a good one.
Oh, yeah. And then the thing is that, I mean, all those girls were so funny that it's so heartbreaking to put together a 20-minute episode of hours of funny footage, you know? And
this
so,
fall.
Yeah.
40-hour guy code.
Oh, boy. I know. Yeah, so, and I mean, it was stressful. I produced the first ever episode of Girl Code, and I was like, why are you putting this on me? Because there were other seasoned producers, but it just fell in line that they had episode 2 and episode 3 and episode 4, and I had 1, and I was like, I lost
That's crazy.
5 pounds, like, in a week running around trying to, you know.
Fuck yeah.
It was fucking awesome. I got so skinny and stressed, and I had diarrhea, and the episode was rad. But that's, again, really challenging outside of my comfort zone. And so glad I did it, because now it's like you want to produce your own stuff and you have a taste of how to do it on a professional level.
Yes, your web series, seeing other people.
Yeah, you got to be in it. You got to be in season 2.
Yeah, come on down.
All right, all
right. Come on down to the Sabrina Jalees factory.
Okay, right apart for you.
So that was, so that's exactly what you're talking about, was like, okay, so you burst your, you popped your producing cherry with that. And then you said, why am I not doing this for myself?
For myself, right. Yeah. Because, yeah, like I am that person. I've always been that person, always, where I was just like, why? Like, I want to, I worked in at a film festival before I even decided to do comedy. Like, I've always wanted to work with storytelling on camera, whether that's a short film, television, a feature length film or whatever. And web series are like the perfect storm of something that's kind of low commitment, but can be really, really good if you want it to.
Yeah, I almost think like if you're not doing some sort of project online, then like just start.
You don't exist.
You're nothing to me. You're dead to me, and your jokes are zero. They mean zero, okay?
But I'm very shy and I'm very critical, and I was like, I have to get something going, because I hold back. I want things to be perfect, but almost to a point where it's like, okay, like they're not going to be perfect. Like, it's okay if they're good with some missteps, but it was just more like, fuck it, like let's just do this. Let's get it out there.
If you were going to write every joke, if you were going to throw out every joke, hoping that it's like the applause break,
right? They're just not. But I think the nice thing is with this collaboration and with the people we worked with, like I feel like it's a pretty strong. It's a pretty strong resume right now of what we're capable of. Like,
yeah,
I think we were all like, oh, okay, like the pilot, you know, it. The first 2 episodes are just a little boring because it was everyone's first everything on that day, and we only had my apartment as a location.
Yeah.
And it's like by the end of episode 2 and through 6, the world expands because suddenly we're all over the city, and it just looks better and it feels better, and we all got more comfortable with each other. And so we're like, oh my God, season 2 will be amazing.
Yeah, great, you know? great. So the way that process worked was, because I read Julia said that you had the idea.
Mm-hmm.
So Julia, hope you have an idea for season 2, honey. JK.
Like, well, no, but like the thing is, like, I love that Julia, like, definitely, but I'm like, oh my God, Julia, you're a huge part of it. I read that thing on Splitsider, and like the paragraph, like, practically was like, no, it was Brooke. And I was like, no, you have gone above and beyond to give me credit.
I mean,
it's
not,
awesome. Yeah. Like, but I was like, Julia was such a huge part in, you know, like, it's pretty 50-50. I was like, I've got this idea and you're the person I want to make it happen with, you know?
So if we were compiling, like throughout what we've talked about, there's number one, in the way back playback, number one is being yourself, doing creatively what you want to do. I'd say the next like big beat of meat, the big next big beat of meat is in terms of what you learned when you were producing, step to things that like that intimidate you. Have diarrhea, lose 5 pounds, take pictures of your body after you lost 5 pounds,
right, post
get
it,
your headshots
post it
done. Definitely get your headshots done. Damn. You know how I just said done like it was then?
Damn.
What's wrong in my brain? Get your headshots done. Damn. Problems in my brain means weird ones for sentence. Then number three. Too many asides and you're just in the woods, you know? Too many asides and you're like,
yeah, don't
lose
track.
Where's the highway?
I'm here with the rope. I'm like, grab onto it and come back into the light,
just
Sabrina.
One more aside.
I know.
And then number three was what we were just talking about. And if I can't find my way back, then boy, will this whole thing
create
something. Create. Oh, what I was going to say is create like partnership create, like, being able to say, okay, yeah, stand up just takes me, and that's something that I love about stand up. It's why I was doing Second City improv and sketch stuff, but stand up, I always knew that would be something that I could control.
Right.
But yeah, giving away some of that control and collaborating with people. Mm-hmm. That's like, I think the only way to do a web series like the one you did, like a narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I'm not, you know, sometimes I can feel like I have that disease of over collaborating, but I've gotten better at being
I didn't know that you seemed like you had the disease.
Well, you know, not
see
that
Brooke lately. Oh, she's collaborating all over the place.
Always with everybody.
She's always with everybody.
I know. Well, it's good to have a few things that are like just your name on them only in the sense, like, if you look at it from a business standpoint, like, unless you decide that this person is your writing partner and your team and you're going to split paychecks, which is what fucking happens.
Yeah.
You can get hired as a writing team and they're like, great, one paycheck for the team. And so, like, you have to make sure you have your body of work, because, like, for, you know, your manager and other people to pitch you, it gets muddy if all of your projects
are tied
with everybody else.
I just think that, like, if you continue with
the stand-up. But by the way, I've got, like, all these other collaborations coming up, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was kind of funny when you said, I feel like when you said it can seem like I have the disease of always collaborating, it was like your own kind of musical comedy judgment or something. Like,
it's where my I'm judging myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I judge myself all the time. There's definitely things, I guess I could kind of group myself into someone who has the disease of like doing a lot of different things. And I've talked to my manager about it, and there is definitely like the truth be told, if you're doing everything, it shows a little bit of a lack of belief and focus in a way. But I survive, like, I'm not a barista mm-hmm. right now because I have lots of fishing poles in the water, and some right. of those fishing poles are like cooler than others.
Right.
And maybe those are the ones that I like put on blast, but at the end right. of the day, I can't say that I would have like as fortunate a life if I wasn't so open to doing different things, trying different things,
right.
you know, like,
and
copywriting
at the end of the day,
or whatever yeah, it is.
That it probably falls in the creative field regardless. It's not like you're like, well, I'm a sculptor.
No, it's
four
like
mornings
only
a week,
writing
and, right, you're staying
and
all in your wheelhouse. And I, yeah. you know, and we talked about it a little bit, I think, at the conference too, where like there are the people who have laser focus. Mm-hmm. They're like, nope, writing is it, scripts, and I will virtually maybe go ignored for 5 years and then explode onto the scene with like 2 feature films and then ha ha ha.
Yeah, which you know, is so brave.
It's very brave. I think the reason I collaborate.
Myopic, you idiots.
I think the collaborating is something that I really, really enjoy, because stand-up can feel really isolating, or when I do write, I'm home all day by myself writing. And I do feel isolated a lot. Mm-hmm. So getting together with people who work on a big project with me it's the best to show up with other. And you know what? I play against other people really well. It's not that I don't like my own voice by itself. I just know certain people who bring out the best in me and vice versa. And it's a good marriage of minds.
Yeah. And in terms of, I think, creating web, I guess you could totally do vlogs, but for, once you get into that like TV type area, right. it's just then you're just casting. You're filling out a casting mm-hmm. kind of like how you shine.
Right.
I mean, I do I do a web series called How Many Questions with Lisa Traeger.
Yeah.
Now we're developing a pilot for CC Studios and kind
That's great.
Broadening it out. But of course, you know, I think they're interested in Lisa and they're interested in me mm-hmm. at Comedy Central, and the two of us like that's just a package now that like we've mm-hmm. showed them how we play off each other,
right?
And I think it becomes a stronger sell.
That's great. Yeah. And sometimes it is really hard.
Rather than if I was pitching the exact same show.
Yeah. Like where it's just me, everybody. Like
yeah.
I'm kind of, and I don't mean that in a way where I don't believe in myself, but it really takes certain factors to kind of, you know, like Grace Helbig's a great example of someone mm-hmm. who did the vlog thing for years. And like she is an amazing entity with tons of followers and fans. And it's like, it just never occurred to me to do anything like that. And just because I would have thought of it
well,
6 years doesn't
mean. Well, she's definitely
like
a pioneer too.
Right. And it's like, it doesn't mean that I would have had the same. I just think there are a lot of different formulas for getting there, you know? And yeah, so there are some things where I'm like, oh, I could definitely stand alone in some of these things. And there are others where it's like, no, it's powerful to go in with like a team.
Mm-hmm. Like, got you. I right. got you. I also did some digging. I mean, I guess I don't need to preface everything that I know about you with like, did some juicy little scrumptious shovel banging. but you've been in New York for 9 years now.
Yeah.
What are some things that you could have used telling yourself year one?
Year one. Man, I used to want to do a storytelling show called 1 Year in New York, where it would just, I mean, it's still not a bad idea, but to have people tell. I think the first year is basically like, it's putting your feet to the fire. It's insane here. I don't know how it was for you.
Yeah, no. Like, I feel like it's cutting your feet off and throwing them in the fire.
In the river.
Like, any feet in there?
I'll take the dirty ones. I'll take the half-eaten feet.
I'll take that feet. Just that shoe there. I can tie to where my feet used to be.
Oh, I'm going to have garbage can lids for feet now? Okay.
Who cares? Yeah. I'm in New York.
I mean, it's, I don't know, everything that was, all of my bad habits were just thrown in my face, like, 20-fold. Like, the fact that I'm irresponsible, that, like, with just keeping up on, like, it just everything that you can kind of get away with in a slower-paced city became, it just became so glaringly obvious that I was like, I do not have my shit together, and I keep getting just burned for it, you know, like not being on time. And it'd be like, okay, so maybe in Chicago or whatever, like, fine, you were 5 minutes late. In New York, you can like be a day late. Like, like things get so fucked up here, you know.
Yeah.
And just realizing that
a day late would be the worst the worst day on the subway. Excuse me, can anyone point me in the direction of the downtown one?
No, I know.
I used billiards, by the way, as the sound effect for the
billiards
MTA.
Billiards is someone.
Down in the subway.
Do you need new sound effects?
I do. I'm like only using the free ones on iMovie. So.
Oh, got it. Got it.
Someone help. Someone help. Send me sound effects that you recorded. Yeah, maybe if anyone wants to send me a sound effect that you record, I can play it on the podcast, and that would be something the professionals call media integration, motherfuckers.
What do you know? Yeah, I don't know. I just remember being like, I used to not care so much about my finances, and like at one point I had $10 and was like sleeping in an abandoned building.
Mom, wait a second, like, in New York City, Brooke VP was sleeping.
I had my bed with a friend. He got kicked out. Was stuck between leases.
Oh my God.
Stuck between leases. I feel like Hannibal was here too at the time. We were like the first Chicago people to show up. In New York City. And
Was he sleeping with you guys?
I feel like he, like, literally we were all so desperate with nowhere to live at the moment. And I think all three of us, like, slept in his now, like, his building. Everyone got kicked out. But
a building that was, like, someone's house.
But it was empty. And there were people
squatting.
Vagrants fucking each other in the stairwell.
Oh my God, and you'd have vagrants!
To, like, step over vagrants. And the thing is, like, you could lock it once you got back in, but all day while you were gone, you know, you couldn't lock it behind you. And so we would, like, lock ourselves. It was very, very Walking Dead.
I mean, it's pretty, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I mean,
there was one gross L-shaped leather couch in the Upper West Side. But it was just
Upper,
like,
West Side, that's so good. That's, like, such a good contrast, like, to, like, all the Canada Goose jackets that are outside.
In 2006, I mean, like, it was up in, like, I guess the Hunt. Maybe it wasn't Upper West. Maybe it was Border. I have no idea.
Was it New York? Really, did it happen, Brooke?
It was Michigan. I'm sorry. But, I mean, that, you know. And I made the mistake of telling my mom, and she was just like weeping, and she's like, "You come home." And, you know, I was like, "No, I got this, mom. I'll figure it out." And, like, now if I only had $10, I mean, but it was exciting. I loved living here. It was, I don't know. You would have a good time even with $10 in your pocket. Like, it was so fun.
I mean, I don't think you could have fun in New York with $10 in your pocket.
It worked out. I had money. I mean, like, I had money coming, but it literally got down to $10. But magical shit will happen where you, like, you get a free drink, and, like, the people at the pizza place gave me a free slice.
Yeah, and, like, there's rich enough people around that you could just be like, "Hey, I'm a girl that has no money.
I know.
Can I have a burger?" I feel like I would be pretty good at that. Just, like, making friends at a bar, and then once they say no to buying you a burger, just be like, "Okay, bye."
Bye.
And then you turn to your right and you're like, what you reading about? I like books too. Bye.
Everyone, can I have a free burger?
You gain 40 pounds your first week as a homeless person because you're too charming.
Do you feel like when you see people who are in need, when they ask for really specific things, I'm more prone to give it to them? When they're like, I just want enough money for a wrap, for like a chicken salad wrap.
Yeah, I mean, like,
wrap.
Isn't that the same thing as like when you meet with like a manager or agent? It's like, yeah, I want to be the one girl that's the singing the word. They want like a specific vision.
Right.
So vision.
Right. So this is advice. If you're ever down in hard times, have like your signage and your brand. Have your brand be really clear. Like, I'm in it for a smoothie.
And
a wrap.
Yeah. But I don't really, but you got to look like you're going to get a smoothie. You can't like, don't upgrade it to like, I'm, you know, just need to make my NYU payments or something. Just like look the part.
You know, for health reasons, like your health conscience. I don't know.
Conscience.
I'm very excited.
If you're in a room with someone else, grab their hand right now and say it with us. Conscience.
I'm very excited that there's a Marshalls right around the corner. By the way,
what are you gonna buy?
Ooh, girl, I don't know.
Right out that
Marshalls.
List.
Just some
Marshalls.
A bathing suit and some caramel popcorn. I love that store.
I mean, you're gonna buy caramel popcorn from there?
From Marshalls, they have
like
they have
it's gourmet. Not. They're gourmet, but like it's old gourmet.
From 1997.
I mean,
gourmet.
Love a deal. Who am I kidding? I've got 9 packs of gourmet popcorn that I'm sitting on right now.
Eating it with my pussy. That's why you listen to this show, right? Those kinds of comments.
That was 3 of my listeners jumping off of a cliff. That's how angry they were about me eating popcorn out of my pussy. And you know what? If you can't take it, still listen. I need you. I need you here. Am I less or more desperate since the beginning of the taping of this podcast? I feel like I've learned a lot. We've imparted a lot of lessons. I'm throwing in that desperation. Am I less desperate? Desperation, do you have it?
I don't know.
Really, bitch.
No, I don't. I mean, it's weird. I guess desperation is probably too strong of a word. I mean, there are things. Okay, so like I feel weird, desperate feelings, and I get really emotional, and I'm like, where did I go wrong in my life? I really wish I could be on Game of Thrones. Then I feel really desperate. Like, I'm I get very fantastical, and I'm like, I just went down the wrong road, but I didn't even know.
Is Game of Thrones a real one that has gotten you?
Because it's so wildly different from anything I do.
Brooke, don't sell yourself short. Your life is like Game of Thrones.
It is like Game of
Between
Thrones.
Between leases.
When I get desperate and really like fantasy, because it's like that show's just a total fantasy and I'm a fantasy nerd and I love all that stuff. And
I love that.
I could wear one of those gowns and be like there are these, the Sand Snake Sisters are coming up in season 5. And I'm like, that fucking rules. I'd love to be like a dagger wielding warrior princess.
Holy shit, I'm
on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, definitely last 15 minutes you really gave away a whole
other side. And if they would let me sing and do like the first musical number in Game of Thrones, I'm very excited for Sunday.
I'm going to tell you right now what we were talking about, like being myopic about it and just, I say kick everything
just
else
to push the side it all aside
and literally
and figure out how to get
even
cast.
If it takes just like squatting in an apartment in the Upper West Side, even if it takes 10 years, Brooke, I'm telling you.
There are weirder things have happened. Social media is pretty powerful. You could just start like incessantly tweeting at like David Benioff. Yeah.
Get a green screen and start putting samples out of like what you would do at the beginning of like, in this world that's majestic with these crazy effects behind me. I'm sure you could see me in the real thing.
I just got a light kit and I have a green screen. So if you're my neighbor, come over and help me.
I never said I wanted to improve my station, and neither did Brooke VP. This has been My Sexy Podcast. Usually we call my mother at the end of it.
Really?
Are you? Do you want?
I didn't know.
You didn't know that? Well,
is she expecting
usually,
you?
No, we usually do. I called her. I was playing phone tag with her today, and she left me this voicemail.
Hi, Dima.
Okay, take it
I'm
easy.
I'm not sure if I can do this podcast thing today.
This podcast thing. 40 episodes.
I'm at Christie Gardens with the two Trudies. We're waiting for a bed.
My mother is at Christie Gardens with the two Trudies, who are two 90-something-year-old Swiss women waiting for a bed. So that's why she's not able to call in. It seems actually very similar to the situation you were in with Hannibal and the boy at the time, or your other friend.
My high school friend. And yeah, I don't mean to like, I hope Hannibal doesn't mind me, you know.
I mean, Hannibal, literally, Hannibal's being spied on by Bill Cosby. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm very Bill Cosby's very got a small potatoes.
BB gun to his temple right now. Imagine Bill Cosby on a roof. I mean, I literally don't want Hannibal to get shot with a BB gun. Does a BB gun hurt? Did I do a bad thing? No, it's just a little.
If it hits you in the like in your in one of your temporal regions, yeah. Yes.
I love that we both got scared about what we said about Hannibal at the end of the show. I just want to be successful enough that people are terrified to tell real things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Or fantasy Bill kick. Shout out to Bill Cosby, BB gun. any shout outs?
Check out the web series, seeingotherpeopleseries.com.
Cool. I'm going to be in Toronto May 9th at the Bad Dog Theater, 11 p.m. show on a Saturday. Who would dare? Oh, shit. The sound effects are not hooked up, but the sound effect was horse snort. You know, keep that snort horsey. Goodbye.
In New York, yeah. You can like be a day late. Like, like things get so fucked up here, you know.
Yeah.
And just realizing that
a day late would be the worst, the worst day on the subway. Fooling around and chasing old mistakes.